I entitled my message this week, Herding Cats. Did you ever try to herd a cat? You know, like you herd cows? Well, let's see what Scripture's got to say and how we could put that together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through Matthew 10. Now, I know the lectionary said 8, but I'm going to back up to verse 5 through 23. The need for workers. Jesus traveled through all the cities and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, red letter edition, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field." And then chapter 10, starting at verse 5 through 23. Also red letters. Jesus sent the 12 disciples out with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money with you. Don't carry a traveler's bag with an extra coat and sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you go into a city or a village, search for a worthy man and stay in his home until you leave for the next town. When you are invited in someone's home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, turn back the blessing. If a village doesn't welcome you or listen to you, shake off the dust of that place from your feet as soon as you leave. I assure you, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off on the judgment day than that place will be. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wary as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and beaten in the synagogue. And you must stand trial before governors and kings because you're my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. Yes, to witness to the world. When you are arrested, don't worry about what to say in your defense, because you will be given the right words at the right time. For it won't be you doing the talking, it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death. Fathers will betray their own children, and children will rise against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. But those who endure to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I assure you that I, the Son of Man, will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Well, I mentioned that herding cats, sometimes you hear it as a very popular expression in our culture, which expresses exasperation in the face of trying to govern or control other people's behavior, particularly those with very individual preferences, goals, and agendas and initiatives, who have no interest in being governed or trying to be organized. Throwing their hands up in frustration, leaders trying to command such a individual into a group or with a group or maybe even a common goal, they might exclaim, "Well, trying to work with this group is like herding cats." What's that phrase mean anyhow? Well, I think it reflects on the independent nature of cats, often in comparison to dogs, who tend to behave more amicably and more obediently. Now, we have a grandson that lives on our property, and he loves cats. And he says, now, I don't know, that he can train cats. Well, I never heard of that until he said that. But he has one or two cats that actually obey him when he calls. It's very interesting. Anyone here within the sound of my voice a cat owner? Well, if so, I think you know that cats cannot be coerced. It goes inherently against their nature. The more you try to coerce a cat, the more it'll resist and demand and go its own way. You can try to entice it, you can lure it, or connect with it on an emotional level, but you likely won't succeed in trying to command it. Now, try to get 10 of these little sweet, furry, independent-minded creatures to serve a common interest? Not likely to happen. But put out 10 bowls of food, and you won't have to say a thing. The cats have supersonic hearing, and they'll already be able to switch on the desire button in their brains, and they will appear together immediately or at once, all sweet and eager and ready to eat. Now, we have a stray cat. Well, I don't know if it's a stray cat or yard cat, whatever you might call him, but he's pure black. And Judy feeds him, and he comes out every evening, and he eats, and then he goes. You cannot get close to him. It appears like sometimes he wants to let you pet him, but if you just make one little step towards him, boom, off he goes. Now, I think cats are not only creatures with minds of their own. Parents, you know, the challenge of getting your toddler to eat broccoli or your teenager to clean their room. If that desire and motivation isn't there, there's no amount of coercion that'll turn their heads to the benefits of either eating broccoli or cleaning their room. How do you deal with these kind of parenting issues? Well, it's been a long time since I was a parent and dealing with children, and I can remember some of the problems. And sometimes if you entice or you invite or you present, you explain, and you show all the benefits of doing the activity that you want them to do, you build a relationship with them, right? In which they trust you and believe you, and then you give it a shot. And it may happen or it may not. And sometimes when it doesn't, there's a time when you just have to let it go. I remember growing up, my brother didn't like peas. In fact, he despised them. He hated them so much that he literally gagged on them. And no matter how encouraging or controlling or enticing or nudging my parents would do, he would not eat them daggum peas. Eat those green peas? Remember what Dr. Seuss said? Finally, they gave up and substituted another vegetable. Sometimes you just have to let it go, as the saying goes. Let it go and let God. Now, these instances are concerning one person in regard to one desired task. Imagine trying to get 8 of 20 of those children with their own ideas and preferences and minds of their own to engage in a common goal. Well, that's the goal of every teacher. Thank God for teachers and every parent when they have more than one child at times. And it's also the challenge of those in business as we get groups, and yes, even churches, when dealing with very different people and different kind of personalities and interests and ideas and proposed goals. How do you get a group to go in the way of the company or the family's business or even a church mission? Well, like I said earlier, some might say, well, preachers like herding cats. Well, here's a hint. It's not about coercion. It's not about control. It's not about winning approval. It's not about forcing an outcome. When people are running in different directions with different motivations and different intentions, it does no good to try to command them into a common direction. It would be futile to try to control that outcome. So when you try to attempt this difficult and impossible task of herding cats, you'll become easily frustrated and spend more trying to herd and lead people in leading the project or the mission. Nobody owns a cat. I think that's what it boils down to. And nobody really and truly owns a person. You know, cats, yeah, they have their own thing, but people do too. So how do you encourage people together in mission or encourage them in a common direction? Well, Jesus addressed this in the scripture that I just read a little while ago in helping his apostles to understand how to guide or shepherd people with little or no knowledge of Christ and his new way. To be baptized in his name and form communities of faith, which in turn would become a church. In fact, they would serve and honor each other, live with a common goal, and operate out of a brand new ethic and identity. Think about it. This is a pretty tall order. And Jesus is about to send out his 12 apostles to do just that. Here's what he told them. He infused them first with power to do the job, and then he gave them the following advice. Guys, as you go, proclaim the good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, give without payment, take nothing with you, but be at mercy to those who seek to build a relationship with, and in every town or village, stay with someone. And if that person welcomes you and your message, bless them. If they don't, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave and move on. And then he goes on to say, paraphrasing what he said, this is a dangerous mission. Many people are going to hate you. But don't worry, you'll be amply rewarded in this end for delivering this important message. Now, what is Jesus telling them? Is that they cannot herd cats, or you can't control them either. You can't order them around. You can't command them or control the outcome of their mission, but they must instead feed them. They must instead build relationships and build trust. Take nothing but give people the food they need, healing, curing, and proclaiming. So what did Jesus tell Peter, who would be the rock and the shepherd of the church? Feed my sheep. Herald, help, and heal, not herd, hate, or handle. Well, let's say together that because of the secret of true shepherding in the spirit of Jesus, that's what we need to do. Herald, help, and heal. Do not herd, hate, or handle. Pretty good advice. No one, especially no one with their own mind and their own ideas, their own thoughts and goals, wants to be herded or controlled blindly. They certainly won't budge if presented with hate. And trust me, nobody wants to be handled or controlled. The objectives of people are different, and you have to treat them different. Sometimes we want to treat them as commodity, another person's gold, but I always love the buts. If you want to truly present somebody with a better way, herald them, help them, heal them, tell them the good news. That could change their lives and make their lives better and more peaceful and more beautiful. Help them in their daily lives and build relationship of trust and caring. After all, that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? It's about relationship with the living God through Christ. So the good shepherd, Jesus, does not pretend to love sheep. He loves sheep. He is truly the good shepherd, and he does love the sheep, you and me. And everything more derives from that loving relationship, that loving intent. Finally, he heals them. He changes their lives in real and tangible ways. So when Jesus was traveling during his life and ministry throughout the region of the Jewish and Gentile world at the time, in search of lost sheep, he never commanded. Think about that. He never attempted to coerce people into thinking the way that he did. So what did he do? Primarily, he healed. Everywhere he went, he healed, he raised, and he pointed to the majesty of God the Father. His message spoke for itself and spoke for the power and the presence of God. He had no need of doing anything more. He provided the food, and the people came. They believed, they converted, they praised God, they changed heart. Now this is the message that he needs to get across to his disciples, and a message that he needs to get across to all of us modern day disciples. Oh, you can try to herd cats all you want, but you'll never build a kingdom that way. He instructed instead, proclaim my message, heal and raise the dead, cast out demons. Now some will listen, some won't. Do not try to control the outcome. Just do your thing and then walk away. God will take care of the rest. That's why you hear me say a lot of times, you know, all we got to do is plant seeds. You know, Paul planted, Apollo watered, and God gave the increase. It takes a big burden off of us where you don't have to browbeat somebody with your Bible. Just plant a seed of love and grace and healing. So Jesus' message then, and his evangelistic method, if you would, works the same way today as it did those 2,000 plus years ago. Oh yeah, we live in a divisive culture. As always, through the ages, people will think independently. People will have their own ideas, their own religions, their own beliefs, and their own goals and agendas. You and I will never succeed in convincing them of your way, the church's way, Jesus' way, a common way. Because Jesus' message is not about convincing or about convicting. Through demonstration, through gifts of healing and wholeness, through life-changing assistance, through relationships built on trust, non-judgmental empathy and understanding. This is the message of Jesus, God's message for humankind. Has never been about control, but about redemption. Never about force, but about free will. In Jesus' sacrifice, he offered us a better way, a way of peace and love and salvation, a kingdom collaborative, a spirit that just showed us what it would look like through his actions, his humility and his healing and his sacrificial love. This is the way to shepherd God's people even today. This is the way to be Jesus' disciples and apostle, to be Jesus' followers. You know, I had, you heard me say this before, but you know, I had a father-in-law that told me one time, and it's always stuck with me, if you convince a person against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. That's Jesus' way. Just kindness and show love and just plant the seed. Well, parents today have a hard job. There ain't no doubt about it. I don't know if I could be a parent in today's culture. But we should celebrate Father's Day this way. And this is Father's Day. And we ask that may all our fathers demonstrate that peace and understanding of human nature as our Heavenly Father has shown towards us. Not only today, but all the days of our life, if we'll only let them. Build a relationship with your children is a good thing to do. Teach them the way of Jesus by living that way in your own life. You know, we have a role model. And that's in Jesus. If we try, and that's what we got to do is try, we'll never be able to be perfect at it. Try to live the life that Jesus recommends to us. And then they will see your life. And they'll want, oh yeah, they'll make mistakes and do different things just like we had growing up. But if we tell them how much God has gifted all of us with his grace and love and understanding and the ability to forge a new way. Listen to your children. Heal them. Pick them up when they fall. You know, bandage up that skinned knee and give them a hug. And most of all, feed them with all the love that you can. They will always respond to love. This Father's Day, we ask that you just bless them in your family and in your church and your community and all your world. You have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.